This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 172 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, me and Alex, we got our paddles, we got our life jackets, and we're going up the river of time in our little canoe. We're coming to the end of the river here. We're in the 2010s, and this week's movie is a little movie. I don't know. You might have heard of it. Christopher Nolan, Inception. Now, Alex, I can ask you, because I know you have seen this. Yeah. When is the last time you watched this movie?
I saw this in the theater in 2010. I purchased it on Blu-ray because it came with the script, but I never watched it.
So this is your first time in 12 years.
Yeah, in 12 years. Yeah.
That's pretty good. I've seen this twice at the theater, and since then I've seen it a handful. I would say maybe three times over the last 12 years. So I don't know the last time I watched it, but I've seen it multiple times. It is one of those kind of movies. It kind of helps. But we're going to get into all that in a moment. Before we do, of course, we got to let you know, what did the critics and the audiences think of this? And of course, a little preview. We will be coming up next Monday doing our director spotlight on Christopher Nolan. So this is the only movie we're going to get a full review here on the podcast before that show. So if you like what you hear, or if we say something that you like, make sure you check that out now. Alex, pretty good scores here. Much better than some of the other movies we've done. This is up there with the upper tier. This has an 87% critic score.
Okay.
And a 91% audience score.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. And to be honest with you, the 91 audience is not surprising, because everyone I know in regular life loves this movie. You know, when I posted, I was watching it on Instagram, a lot of messages. I love this movie. This is one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. So it is not surprising that it's high. Critics like Nolan too. So neither of these scores are surprising. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. I mean, if this movie would have came out in the 90s, it would have got hit with a 60 from the critics.
They're like, this is too weird. I don't know what's going on.
What's going on here.
Once The Matrix came out and like made it possible to make these really deep sci-fi type stuff, I think that kind of opened the door for movies even like this. So with that being said, of course, you get to go first. In this case, our lead character, played by the I don't think this is the first Leonardo DiCaprio movie we've done. I think.
Yeah.
That's crazy. 172 episodes in. Finally, a Leonardo DiCaprio role. He plays Cobb. He's the leader of the group. This is an ensemble, but he's the lead. Go ahead.
I liked him. I thought he was, Leonardo DiCaprio is very good. He's like a Swiss Army knife when it comes to like action. Like, he could be a supporting actor. Like when he was in Quick and the Dead with Sharon Stone, he played the kid in that Western. When he's in the lead, he's just so great at it. He's really good in this. I mean, it's an all-star cast, if you really think about this. I mean, he threw almost everybody from Batman into this movie. So it's like, you can't even think about it. Well, not the Batman. I mean, in the entire
almost all
trilogy.
These people appeared in some of the Nolan movies. Batman movies. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But in terms of Leonardo DiCaprio, he was really good. He was just like Hannibal from the A-Team. He's the one that sets up everything. Now, this movie comes to a weird point, because this movie is all about going inside a mind to extract information. So it's not like it's like a heist planning type of thing. This is like a to the next level of heist movie. This is like in your mind, man. That's pretty much where it goes in. But in terms of Leonardo, he's a great leader. His side plots are very good. His wife is dead. He has to deal with this because she's popping into his mind. So that is pretty cool. His kids situation, his father-in-law, I guess, which is Michael Caine's character. You see how that's developed also. Right? I hope I have that right. Right?
Yeah, because that's the kid's grandpa. I think it's on his, I don't know if it's not his dad. I think it's on his wife.
That's what I mean. Yeah, his father-in-law. Yeah, so kind of worked that way. But I thought everything worked very well. Honestly, I gave him a 5. There's no way I could score him lower than that, because honestly, between him is a 5 and the entire cast is a 5. They were all good.
Yeah. Yeah. So to be honest, Leonardo DiCaprio is my second favorite actor, period. Acting wise, there's no problems here. The guy is the modern day like Robert De Niro. Like, he's that good every time. And I'm talking like prime Robert De Niro, not old Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Like Robert De Niro before he turned 50. I mean, just, you could put him in any type of movie and he will be great. And that's Leonardo DiCaprio to me. So with that being said, Oh, we did Django Unchained. He was in that. This is our second Leonardo DiCaprio movie. I give him a 5. I mean, you're right. I like all your points. He's the leader. This is an ensemble, right? You have Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You have Tom Hardy. Cillian Murphy is in this. Now Elliot Page. Michael Caine. What's this guy's name? Tom Berenger is in this. Like, this is a really, really, really strong cast. And he leads it like a piece of cake. It's a piece of cake. And the character itself is well written. Like you said, he has layers. He can't go home. He has a good backstory because throughout this crazy mind bender of a movie, you slowly find out why he can't go home. They show why he can't get, you know, Marion Cotillard's character out of his head. You know what I mean? His subconscious and all this stuff. Like, it's really well thought out. And he's a whole full character. And that's what I love really in any movie. But especially when you could have a character that's that well written in a movie with this many characters. If that makes sense. So I give him a 5. I'm right there with you.
Dude, one thing I did learn from this movie, I will say, Tom Hardy, Christopher Nolan, got to do a Bond movie. Because let me just tell you.
When he first meets him and he's like sitting at the cafe.
Yeah.
And they're talking and his legs folded. And I'm like, this guy could be James Bond, bro. Yeah. I've always said it. He can do it.
And at the end of the movie, when he's in the snow scenery and he's in the snowmobile, I was like, yo, this dude, Christopher Nolan, could do a Bond movie. Can't tell me he cannot direct
one. He can. He'll probably make one of the best Bond movies ever is probably what will happen. Tom Hardy can do it. He can do it because he got he's British, first of all, and he can play, even though he plays kind of rough and, you know, tough guys. In this movie, he's the very classy sort of British. I 100% agree with you.
No.
Now, main villain. Now, in this case, we're going to score Marion Cotillard's character because she essentially is the one that causes the most problems. Because this is not a traditional good guy versus bad guy like action movie. This is sci-fi action, but it's not that. It's not hero versus villain. So we're going to score her, though, because she leads to many issues for these characters. So go ahead.
Yeah, I gave her a 4. I think she was really good. And again, she, in the non-reality, I guess you want to call it, in the mind, she's just there. She's like a malware type thing. She's just there to just stop him at all costs. I mean, you get to learn throughout the movie why certain things happen. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. It brought in a lot of tension into the group because Elliot Page character pretty much was like, you got to tell your team because you're like, the cool thing about this movie is he does not tell them. Everything gets thrown off because of his wife coming in and screws everything up. Everything was going to plan until she was like, I can't tell you because she's going to show up. And he said it and she showed up and I loved it because he had to shoot her. Mm-hmm. And it was just like so much stuff. And I was like, this is actually really good. She was really good. She was a psychotic person in that world. So I give it a 4. I thought she was great.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I gave the same score. I gave her a 4. She doesn't fight. This is not a fight villain. This is even worse because it's like in his mind. She's dead. She doesn't even exist. But this version of her that lives in his memories that he can't get rid of, every single job they do, she ruins it. Even the first one, even the opening of the movie where like, okay, this movie throws you right in and you don't even know what's happening, right? She's there. She's there ruining crap all the time. It leads to a lot of issues. So I can't give her a perfect 5, but I will give her a 4. And Marion Cotillard,
she's great.
I mean, she's an Oscar-winning actress. She's great in the role. She's beautiful and she's bad. And there's just like, it's like at one moment you're looking at her and you're like, man, this is such a gorgeous woman. I don't want to not like her. But then she keeps like, she freaking, when she said the scene where you find out what she did, where she set him up, where she destroyed the hotel room, told her lawyers that he was going to kill her and all this stuff, like almost tried to force him to kill himself. And he's like, I can't do it. And she just jumps off the thing. And now he can't go, like ruined his whole life. Like she's bad. She is bad, but sympathetic, you know, because that was, you know, when they explain what limbo is and how it works, it's like, well, dang, you know, you feel bad for her, but she's still bad. So yeah, I gave her a 4 as well. I'm right there with you. All right. Action.
All right. So now this movie doesn't have much action. I mean, the trailer sells you like this thing is like mad action packed. This is not an action movie at all. There is certain action aspects in the movie, especially when the world is turning and they're fighting in the corridors. But again, that's like a 2-second scene because it's not going a lot. So in reality, I gave it a 4. I can't throw a five on it because honestly, there is not much scenes in this. I mean, there is shootouts. The shootouts were well shot. But again, I mean, I would like to have it at least more than, I would like to say if there's more than 10 minutes, then I could go, okay, I'm going to slap a five on this regardless of what the story is about. But there was not enough that I could say is past 10 minutes. Honestly, you got the scene in the hallway. You do get the ending. I could take it back. The ending was a lot, the shootouts, but again, that was Tom Hardy doing his stuff and the blowups, but it wasn't as concentrated. It was just more like the story was going all over the place. So look, again, four is not bad, but I gave it a four for great.
I mean, four is really good. Yeah. Look, I'm right there with you again. I have the same score. I gave it a four. The thing is, like, the action is good, but you're right. There's not a lot. Like, the opening scene is pretty much action, you know, with the, when they're in that building with Ken Watanabe, and there's like, there's some light shooting and Leo walking around with the gun and stuff. And then you have the scene when they're in the rain and there's all those guys coming after them with the gun. The train comes through and like rails through them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they
have that
shootout and chase into the warehouse. And then Tom Hardy has the grenade launcher. That's, I always love that part. It's hilarious because like it's all in the dream and all Joseph Gordon-Levitt has is a regular gun and this guy's like a gigantic grenade launcher.
And he makes fun of him.
He says, you have to dream a little bigger, darling. That's what he tells him. And then he shoots a grenade at that thing. That's a fun action scene. The hallway scene is great. It looks amazing. You're right. It's not long, but it is super cool. And then you have the big one in the snow, right? I mean, and then throughout the whole movie, the guys driving the van is a chase scene throughout, you know, kind of spliced throughout. So it's not pure action. You're right. It's more sci-fi with like little bursts of action. But the action is so well executed that I'm going to give it a four. It's like really well shot. I mean, when you have a director who's like great at directing, you don't expect the action to be not great. It is great. And like I said, the hallway scene's really cool, really well done, very unique. And the snow stuff is really cool. But at the end of the day, it's like really well shot, solid action, but it's not like five territory. It's not nonstop enough. It's not like so over the top.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with you. I gave it a four as well. Okay, storyline.
Oh, well, this is it right here. This is the category for this movie, is storyline.
Yeah.
This storyline is a unique. I don't think I ever seen another movie. I mean, besides Reminiscent, I could think of, but that's modern. I mean, we're 2021.
Which came after this.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm saying like that's the other movie I could say that is similar to this, but not really. Very unique storyline. I really enjoy what the story is actually about. It's funny because now that we're doing the director spotlight for Monday's show, I could kind of see the influence of Nolan's first three movies kicking into this movie also, especially with Jonathan Nolan, because I think he had a hand in writing this. So you can see the brothers, I could say the brothers' influence in this movie is heavy from following Memento. All that is brought into this film. And I liked it. I thought it was really good. You know, the ending for me, again, this is the second time me watching it. I kind of figured it out finally because I was like, okay, now because I'm a little older, 12-year older Alex, kind of figured it out more. I hope I did. You could correct me, yes or no. But I think to me the ending, when he spins it on the table and he sees his kids and it's still spinning, but he doesn't stay there watching it. To me, I think he already picked his reality going, you know what? I don't give a shit if this is going to fall or whatever because he's with his kids. Like, I think he accepted that if he's not in the whatever he's in or not. So I think, to me, I think he accepted where he is and what reality he's in. Because, honestly, you really don't know if he's in reality because the thing starts to just go side to side to side. And you really don't know if it fell. Again, I didn't see the extra credit scene if there was. I just stopped the movie because I had to get the show going. But other than that,
No, no, that's the end.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so to me, that's what I got from the ending. Like, he picked his reality. Because, again, this movie has layers upon layers. And sometimes you do kind of get lost. It's like three dream sequences they go in. I mean, they go deep, 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 deep into someone's dream. And then they go into purgatory, which my wife thought it was pretty interesting that I said that. Because I felt like they went into purgatory to pull out Scarecrow.
Limbo.
Limbo, dude. Yeah, so, and then he had to do the same thing for Sakatomi, or whatever his name was, the Japanese character.
Yeah.
Sato, was it? Sato?
Saito, I think it is.
Yeah, something like that. So I felt like they had to kill themselves to go into purgatory and then rip each other out by shocking themselves and pull out. So I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, again, Here's my interpretation, because again, this movie has so many, like, everyone's going to have a way that they watch this movie. And that's a cool thing about Nolan movies when they're like this, because I'm telling you, when you guys watch the first three movies, there's a lot. You start thinking a lot, what's going on? Yes. Yeah. It's not like the Batman. It's not like the other stuff that came down, like Dunkirk or anything like that. But this movie, I'm giving this a flat 5. It was excellent executed. I think Jonathan Nolan, if he wrote this movie, I hope he did write this movie.
I think he was one of the writers.
Written by Christopher Nolan. Okay, yeah, because Christopher Nolan. He basically wrote everything down and was like, I'm not going to leave any stones unturned in this script to have people screwed up. Like, he did every great job here. I'm going to give it a 5.
Yeah. Here's what I love about this. This has the Total Recall ending, yes! Right? Like, you could choose. Now, personally, me, a couple of things that make me think, well, one, they did the job and he was able to go home. One, the top, it wobbles enough. And even though they don't show it fall, when you see it spin in the actual dream world, it is tight. It doesn't wobble. It is a perfect spinning top that never stops. So even just the wobbles to me, but the one other clue is any single time that DiCaprio's character Cobb is in the dream world, he has his wedding ring on. Every single time he has a wedding ring on. And whenever he's in the real world, he does not have a wedding ring on. And in the last scene, he does not have a wedding ring on. So means two things. Either when he decided to finally give up on Maul, that the wedding ring came off in the dream world, you could look at it that way. Mm. Or the way I look at it is, it is a context clue of where he is within the reality. So you're right. You could look at it either way. You can really look at it either way. It works. Both ways work, in my opinion. The story's a 5. This is a mind bender. Yeah, it's a little dense, a lot dense. I know a lot of people complain about Elliot Page's character being just there for exposition. But to be honest, exposition helps in movies like this. You don't always have to be so ambiguous and vague that your audience just never knows what's going on to be cool. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like feeling like I have no clue of what's happening. So I don't mind exposition in a lot of cases. And this is one of those cases. Like, I don't mind it. Explain it to me so that way I can enjoy the movie more as it's going. And even with the exposition, there's a lot of stuff that's like, it's hard to follow. So it's very well written, though. It's a very well thought out idea. You're right. This is a heist movie where what they steal is ideas or thoughts. And then what Inception is the reverse, where they're trying to place an idea in the person's head. Yeah. So it's like a reverse heist movie. Instead of trying to steal stuff, they're trying to put stuff in the vault, basically.
Yeah.
A very cool concept. It's like Ocean's 11, but with sci-fi.
Yeah, you know, that's a good one.
It's a team. Yeah. Yeah, you know, so I love this. I love this story. I think it's super creative. I think it's extremely well thought out. It's well written. It's well acted. I give it a 5. Okay, overall.
You know, it's pretty funny because, I mean, we set everything on in this. And you're right. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big guy on, like, movies that yap, yap, yap. Like, I'm very shocked that this is a movie that I enjoyed and liked a lot. Because the thing is it falls in the element for me. Like X-Files. X-Files have a lot of storylines like this, whether it's a 3-episode arc that is just like this. It's just back and forth. You really don't know. But I enjoy it. If you write it in a way that it's very well thought out and it makes sense and I feel like I'm in the journey with the character, I'm all in. You got me. But if there's a hair of something off, misinformation, and I start to go, what is this? And I'm done. I'm like, oh, this shit is whack. Like, I'm not going to continue.
I'm out of here.
I'm done. I'm basically turn off my brain and start watching action movies, like the whole action parts. But this movie doesn't do that. The movie really starts you off with Leonardo DiCaprio and you're really sucked into it because then you see all this mind bending shit. And the water's kicking in and you're like, oh, snap. Even the scene that I thought was hilarious is when they go under and they all get mad at the guy who developed the serum. Because he had to pee starts to rain.
Yeah, so it's raining. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, you couldn't empty your bladder out. And he goes, I'm sorry, man. And it started to rain.
He's like, I had 3 glasses of champagne.
Yeah. So I thought that was hilarious. Like, now you knew when you go under, when it starts to rain, is that you had to pee and you couldn't freaking do nothing. So, like, stuff like that was funny. And again, this movie was really well thought out. Very, very well thought out. And I liked it. It was very cool. You hit the nail on the head, though. This is very Total Recall. You really don't know if this is reality or not. And that's a good thing. Like, it's a very good thing. And it gives me another hope that maybe Christopher Nolan could do a Total Recall remake. in the future, or maybe a sequel. Maybe he could figure out a way. Maybe he could figure out a way to do a sequel, return back to Total Recall or something. Something cool. Or just continue making sci-fi. That's something that Nolan, for me, doesn't do much of. I know he's into this whole war stuff now and more realism in his stories now. I'm kind of hope he goes back to his original stories, like the, you know, following Memento, original ideas, because he's really good at it. Very good. Inception is, look, it's original an idea from him, directed by Tenet, him.
Yeah, it's in the ballpark of this.
Yeah.
As far as a concept.
Yeah.
I agree. I think Nolan's sci-fi is great. I wish you'd flip-flop. Do something like thrillers, some sci-fi. I don't need historical movies from him, personally.
I agree with you. I saw Dunkirk. I mean, again, it's been a while. But when we see something like that, I'm going, damn, man, it's like James Cameron. Excellent action director, but stuck in this damn Avatar shit. Yeah,
exactly.
So, like, for me, Nolan is like a type of guy for me, like Ridley Scott. He could direct an Aliens movie. And I think he'll do a crazy job with Aliens because he's more detailed to the script. Like, it's not like he throws shit on the screen. It looked like he's really thought out on the script that he does. Like, okay, this has to make sense for me to put it up on the... And I think he will kill it, man. I think he'll kill it on the reboot of Total Recall, 007, Aliens. I mean, hell, anything sci-fi, even Blade Runner. You could be like, yo, this dude could do a Blade Runner.
An amazing Blade Runner movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I did love 2049, but Nolan would also knock that out of the park. Yeah.
Yeah, so he has that visionary. But anyway, I mean, we're already doing director spotlight on today's on the podcast. But look, other than that, look, I gave him a 5 overall. Hell of a movie. So, yeah.
Nice. This one always catches, I always catch a little bit of flack for my score on this movie because I've always given it the same score.
A 4?
It's a 4. Yeah. Oh, I mean, okay. It's an 8 out of 10 for me. Yeah, the movie's an 8 out of 10. Now, I know a lot of people I can say I love this movie, but it's not my favorite Nolan movie. Even rewatching it now, I think it's a little long. I think it's like a little, there's a few parts where I'm just like, wish they would speed up a little bit. I mean, it's 2.5 hours long. Which is fine, but there is, in this movie, to me, there's some, and I feel the same way about Interstellar. I know we're not doing it yet, but same thing. Like, they can trim some things here and there, make it a little tighter. You know what I mean? It's a little indulgent, but, and I do think the fact that you pretty much have to watch it multiple times is, I mean, that's fine. It's cool. I like the movie, but it's almost like required to like get all the way really into it to me because it's so much plot. Yeah. So I love the film. I think it is great. The Hans Zimmer score. Yeah. I mean, that the music is iconic, not just the boom parts that everybody knows, but even like the little piano parts and stuff, like a really, really, really good score. I mean, Hans Zimmer and Christopher Nolan is like, it's one of those director composer team ups like Spielberg and John Williams or like Tim Burton and Danny Elfman. Like this guy's music just goes with this guy's movies. You know what I mean? So Zimmer, I feel the same way about with Nolan. But yeah, I love the film. I think it's great. Actually, you know what? I'm going to bump it up. I watching it now, maybe a 4.5. I'm going to give it a 4.5. It's still not a 10 for me, but I'm going to give it a 4.5, a 9 out of 10. I think it's great. I think it's really great. So, okay. So what's your total points?
Total points is a 23.
22.5 for me. So I'm 0.5 under. Yeah. I mean, this is, I never tell people this is a great action movie, but it's a great movie. Yeah. With some action. We've done a few of these where it's like, they're really great, but they're not pure action, but you should still watch it. Even if you love action movies, go with it. But if you love sci-fi, go with it. If you just love great movies, watch it. So that is Inception. Again, you'll hear more and you'll hear our rankings of where me and Alex rank this within the Nolan filmography on our director spotlight over on YouTube. Next week, we got a couple new movies. We got Octopussy in our Roger Moore watch through and our next 2010s movie. I don't care what anyone says. I love this movie. It was my number one the year it came out. It's from my favorite director of all time. You guys voted for it. Ready Player One, Steven Spielberg movie. So I'm interested. I have not watched it. When the 4K first came out, that's the last time I watched it. I bought it. I watched it right away. So it's been a couple years. I'm interested to revisit it, but I love it. We'll see if I still love it. I don't know. So those are our next two movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one in a long time, me too. Yeah. It'll be interesting to sit back and see it. But other than that, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks or check out our website at www.geeksandflicks.com where we have the entire podcast there at your disposal for audio, and video. You can check out the Patreon if you want to catch our behind the scenes making of the podcast. All the details are there at www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.